Welcome back to Policy with a Purpose. I'm Renee Ellsbury.
And I am Indiana's own Dana Black. We are chilling, man, at George's.
We are. We are at George's Neighborhood Grill at 71st and Binford. They are kind enough to let us set up in their bar today and hang out and eat some good food and watching the games on and talking policy.
Absolutely. Well, I haven't actually watched any sports at all because I've been watching you. And you're like so intense right now because this is your favorite time of the year.
It is.
It's session. Some people sing about Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, Renee.
January 1st.
January 1st.
Baby.
Renee is like, let's get the party on.
Yes.
What are you going to be doing, Renee? I'm going to read all the policies, all the legislation that's in.
Well, the state of Indiana runs January through the middle of April right now. And so this is a hot time for me. This is where things are happening. This is where the policies are being decided that's going to shape my life.
Amen. And you know what? I'm with it too because I watch the bills not as intently as you do. I'm usually watching the people who want to create policy. So we have a little bit of different roles. But
yeah, but that's okay. But you have to have the right people in there to create the right policies.
Absolutely.
And you also have to have the people in there when a policy is created that should not exist are going to vote no.
Exactly. And so you know, this is budget season. We talked about that earlier. This is a budget year, so it's going to be extended time. I know the governor came out earlier this year. I attended a legislative conference. I love attending those where I can hear from the legislators personally what they see the upcoming year, the things that they want to talk about, what's most important. And one of the things that was most important on Governor Holcomb's list, and he reiterated it 14 million times, was increasing teacher pay.
Yes, and I was excited to see that. And we're definitely, like, this is not just a state of Indiana topic and that not only our own governor says we need to support the teachers who are supporting the future of America, but this is a national topic. Like, this is happening. We saw strikes in California. We've seen strikes in Denver.
Kansas. West Virginia.
Right. So, I mean, we have teachers striking everywhere because the pay is not there.
It's abysmal.
And what I found really, really interesting is that, you know, we're in Marin County. That's where, you know, where our state capital is. And that's where we're, you know, talk from. And we have seen our mayor come out and say, guess what? We are going to pay our police officers more. And when I saw the numbers of what they were changing to, I'm like, these people put their lives on the line every single day, and they were having this dismal pay for what they are doing for their community.
Yep.
And so then, you know, and looking at on social media and looking at the comments, and people were going, yeah, we need to do that for our teachers too. Look at what our teachers are doing. And I'm like, yes, you are absolutely right. And our governor is saying, hey, like, molding lives. They're sacrificing the time. They put way more in than the hours that the school bell is ringing. Why are we not supporting them?
Well, let's back this up a little bit. I mean, let's go into it. We got a little time here. Let's have a fireside chat.
Oh, everybody sit around, have a nice cup of coffee, some tea, some hot cocoa.
Because we're going to talk about what it is to be a teacher. Now, we know that in years past that being a teacher was considered a prominent career.
Absolutely.
Especially for us women. Because that was the field of professionalism that we were essentially allowed to go into, right?
In the beginning,
teaching and nursing. Those were the kind of areas that we could go into.
But only if we weren't married and didn't have families.
Right, exactly.
sorry. You know, we went back in time, sorry.
Can't be. If you were an old spinster, you were perfect for a teacher. But what has happened over the years is that we've seen that there are certain entities that want to profit from education. And you can't really profit from education if you have strong unions or the direction can't really change until you change the structure that was in place. And so what happened was we started attacking teacher unions.
Right.
Because we started doing all these testing, and the testing is showing this, and the testing is showing that. And we didn't take into consideration, you know, the areas of communities that were being tested and how they were being tested and what was going on.
Nope.
The other social issues. But we were attaching these test scores to teacher pay, and we went through a process as a society of literally, you know, making it seem like teaching was the worst thing, that public teachers were the worst thing on earth.
Right, and that they didn't know how to do their jobs, which is not correct.
So let's just take it from where we are. I mean, I'm 48, okay? In 1969, we put a man on the moon.
Woohoo!
Okay, those guys that went to the moon and orbit the earth, they went to public schools. They had public teachers. They had teachers that taught them the science and the math and all the things that prepared them to be great and get to the moon. Now, all of a sudden, public teachers are the worst things on earth. And so even Betsy DeVos says, you know, we could do better with school choice if we could just bust up the teacher union. She said this, you know, just this a week or two ago. There's a goal. There was a push to essentially change the perception of what public school teachers were. So with that came less pay. With that became less people wanting to go into the industry. Now we have two problems. We have the teachers that are in the field. Don't stay more than 5 years.
That's right.
They're dramatically underpaid.
Yes.
And then now we also have a shortage because people don't want to go into a profession that we've been demonizing for the past 10 years to privatize education via vouchers, whatever, whatever. So this is how we got to the state that we're in, where teachers' pay has been stagnant. The teacher pay has been tied to the success of the student. And we're in a pickle. We haven't addressed this need. Now, oh, Christ in a barrel, who's teaching my kid? I can't send my kid to a Catholic school. I can't send my kid to, I'm in rural Indiana.
That's
I
right.
I don't have
there aren't enough
charter
private
choices.
Charter choices or enough private
charter
schools to opt there.
What am I doing? And you got these voucher programs now that are taking money out of the general pot, which means there's less money for those that are left. So here we are, teacher pay. Teachers are making 15% less now, and when you consider inflation, in 2018, 2019, than they did in 1985.
Did you hear that? 1985?
1985.
Okay, so let's be realistic, okay? Your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, your cousins' kids, whatever it is that you are looking at, they start school at age 5 for most of them. In the state of Indiana,
because we don't have pre-K.
No. Well, they do sometimes, but in reality, they start school at age 5. 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
By the state of Indiana, you have to be in school by 7, okay? From the age 5 until they are 18, 19 years old, they're in school.
Yep.
7.5 hours a day.
Yep.
So if you choose public schools, which the majority of people do, your tax dollars are paying for that child care, for them to do what you are not doing.
Yes.
And in some cases, can't do.
Exactly.
Because okay?
Don't ask me to teach anybody trigonometry. That ain't happening.
So you're asking them to do multiple different things during the day. You're asking them to teach them academics.
Yes.
Reading,
scholars,
writing, arithmetic, science, social studies.
Maybe throw some
music,
IT in there.
Art.
Athletics.
Information technology and athletics. So you're asking them to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You are also asking them to teach them manners.
Social skills.
You're also asking them to teach them about the world around them.
Yes. And that it's bigger than their little world, their little space.
Right. And you're also asking them to deal with anything else that's going on, which means if a child comes from a home environment where they're not getting enough food,
whew,
where there's abuse happening in the home, where mom or dad aren't home because of working,
mm-hmm,
where there may be substance use in the home,
mm-hmm,
you're asking them to handle whatever behaviors come out of that. And let me say, there's a lot.
A lot of behaviors.
And that's a totally different show, but I could go into some great detail for you to help understand that.
I wrote about it in IBJ.
But you're asking them to do that for 7.5 hours. And in today's world, you're asking them to keep them safe.
Yes. Yes. And now, that's not even including that 7.5 hours that they're actually in the building.
That's when they're in the building.
They actually
not
take
mention,
the homework home and grade it and prepare
right
for the next day. And
have their lesson plans.
Oh, and by the way, take care of their kids.
Yeah, and possibly coach a team.
Oh, yeah. After school program.
Or spelling bee, or student council,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
or art club or whatever your child is
chess
involved
club,
in.
Spanish club.
Yep. All of that is also going on by your teachers.
By your teachers. And sometimes they have to deal with situations you don't even know about.
And they have to have continued education credits in order to keep their teacher's license.
Yep. Don't some of them have to have masters?
Some of them, depending on what role they play, have to have a master's degree.
Mm-hmm. And if their master's student loans or anything like my master's student loans.
And we won't even talk about what my master's student loans are. That's
another
show.
Student loans.
But we will, this is what we're asking of these people every single day. Every single day.
Yep.
But we don't want to respect them.
Nope.
We want to get in their faces and tell them what they're doing wrong.
Yep.
We want to hold them accountable for the academics of an entire grade when they might live in a community where drive-bys are a daily thing.
Yes, or opioids are an everyday thing.
Yeah, and we want to hold them to the same accountability as the school system that has, you know, a
roundabouts.
Surplus.
That has a plethora of roundabouts.
Or has every single
cul-de-sacs.
Street sign in their community has their school
logo
mascot
on it.
Or
sidewalks that are just pristine and
yes, and we want to make them be the same.
Where their parents actually get up in the morning and maybe mom stays home and cooks breakfast, cooks not cold cereal.
I'm gonna be honest. My kids go to a school where every kid gets breakfast for free. Doesn't matter what home you come from. Every kid gets breakfast for
That's
free.
That's awesome.
Our school system pays for that because we have such a high rate of families in our community where that didn't happen.
Wow.
And it's a proven fact that you have to fuel your brain.
Yes. Food insecurity is so real.
So food insecurity is a real thing. And so in the school system that I send my kids to, every kid gets a free breakfast. And I am very grateful for my school board. And I am very grateful for the taxpayers in my community for making that happen.
Come. Well, but not every taxpaying community can afford that.
Absolutely not. And so that's why, you know, it's important to put that funding. So you know what's not in the legislative session?
What's not in the legislative session, Renee?
Paying our teachers higher wages.
What? I thought that, wait. I just went to a legislative conference. I just told you a minute ago, I went to a legislative conference. The governor said he wanted more teacher trade. What do you mean? What do you mean there's no legislative? I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
I don't know what the legislative conference told you, but I'm telling you,
top priority, teacher pay.
I know, but for some reason, the legislators aren't quite listening to the governor just yet. It can still happen. People, it can still happen.
But the governor.
There are lots of school bills. There are lots of conversations about school bills.
But the governor.
But teacher specific, I'm disappointed in saying that we're not being heard. So this is what I'm going to say. We're going to talk about a couple of school bills. We're going to talk about a teacher bill. But
a teacher bill?
I can dig. I can see if I can make something else up. But but I am going to say that right now, iga.in.gov is where you can go to find out who your representative or your senator is if you're not sure. And they should be a phone number or an email address. You could just shoot them a message right now that says, I care about my teachers because I care about the future of America.
Come on. Come on.
It's your patriotic duty to support the future of America.
You know what? I don't think people understand that.
And it's your patriotic duty to support those that educate your
kids,
the future of America. And so I know we might get into, I don't want to pay more taxes. I don't care.
I don't care either.
Because I want intelligent people running my country when I'm retiring.
Absolutely. Because we can see what happens when stupid people run the country.
That was not bipartisan, and I'm so sorry. But I am going to say that I will.
I'm sorry.
I want the doctor looking me over when I'm in my 60s to come from an excellent education background. I want, because I'll be honest, if they're not, then I'm going to go find a doctor who came from a country that did get the education background, who did have teachers supported, because that's the choice I'm going to make, because I want the best working on me.
It's going to be a wall. It's going to be a wall. You're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. So there's a wall. So but I'm sorry. So wait, Renee. Are you suggesting that all them bills that you read, because you read every one of them.
I did, except the ones put in last week, so I could look right now while we're talking.
All right. Well, I did find one.
Okay.
I found one.
Go for it.
The Senate Bill 17. Senate Bill 17 says what is it called?
Tax credit.
Tax credit bill. And it says tax credit for teachers' classroom supplies increases the income tax credit for an individual employed as a teacher for amounts expended on classroom supplies from $100 to $500 per taxable year. Renee?
Yes.
Yeah. I like this bill, and I understand what Senator Randolph and Senator Garton are doing, and I applaud their efforts. But I'm sorry. Why are teachers having to buy supplies? When I worked at the seatbelt manufacturer to make seatbelts, I didn't have to go buy the parts to make the seatbelts. The parts for the seatbelts were there for me to assemble, and I sent them down the line. Why are teachers having to buy the supplies to teach their kids? Shouldn't those supplies be paid for by the school system?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. But unfortunately, at the beginning of the school year, we asked for kids to have supplies brought in. And oftentimes, the family is not able to afford the supplies that are needed. And so there are organizations where they can get some supplies, but not all supplies. But those supplies run out. They usually last about a semester. And ideally, you would have another time frame where families could then bring in school supplies for the second semester. But that's coming right after a holiday season. And unfortunately, again, you're going to have families who aren't able, whether it was a holiday season or not. They're not able. So then the teacher does not want anyone to go without.
Without, because that's what teachers do. They care
and,
about
the
students.
And again, I belong to a different kind of school district, and I love my school district. I love my school board. I'm very supportive. There's only every now and then they might throw something out there that I'm like, what? But for the most part, they're very student-oriented. They're very family-oriented. So I can't compare my school district to other school districts because I love my school district. But in some school districts, what they do, and this one is mine, when school supplies come in, your kid doesn't get the supplies they brought in. It goes into a community pot.
Oh, wow.
So that everybody can use them.
Wow.
So when the community pot runs out, then do you know what our teachers do at the holidays? We have a holiday candlelight luncheon where we invite all the parents to come and have lunch with their kids. It's very, very nice. We put notes outside the teacher's door where you pick up your kid to have lunch with them with stuff they need for the classroom. If you wanted to give a teacher a present to thank them, and there are things like dry erase markers, crayons, colored pencils, Sharpies, red pens, notebook paper. You know what that tells me?
What does it tell you?
That the teacher's not asking for a gift. The teacher is asking for supplies for their classroom.
See, and this is where I'm having, I mean, I appreciate that story. I swear I do. I appreciate everything that you just said, and I appreciate the desire of the teacher to make sure that the kids have everything they want. I love that the parents are stepping up and wanting to contribute. I think all of that is fantastic. But my question is, fundamentally, why should they have to?
Well, and they shouldn't. And
those things should be taken care of. There's got to be, you're trying to tell me we have enough money to subsidize billion-dollar corporations.
Yeah, and we also have enough money to build a soccer stadium.
But we don't have enough money. We can't talk about that just yet. We don't have enough money to make sure that every student has the tools that they need to be successful, and then we put it on the teacher. It's incumbent upon the teacher to make sure that student has that. This thing is backwards, people. This is backwards. It is our social responsibility. We wrote a social contract that said that we would be an educated society and that every child would have the opportunity to succeed. You can't tell me that you can tell a child he or she can succeed when they don't have the tools that they need. And how dare we sit around and talk about, well, you know, so I'll go back to the governor.
Yep.
Governor said he wanted all the teachers to get raises. Well, some of the legislators said, well, in order for you, some of these school systems to give their teachers raises, they'll have to find money somewhere else in their budget. We're already talking about they're short. We're already talking about they don't have enough money. Where are they going to? So basically, you're telling the school systems to choose between your teacher pay and the things that the students need.
Well, and so as we were talking, I found a couple other teacher bills.
All right. What you got?
I've got 1274.
SB or HB?
HB. Sorry, HB 1274. This is about teacher licensure. So this requires that the Department of Education to grant an additional practitioner license to an individual who holds a bachelor's degree or equivalent from a post-secondary education institution, submits fingerprints, does the national criminal history check, successfully completes the American Board Alternative Teacher Certification Program.
Who pays for all that?
Hold on. Is authorized to teach the subject matter that they are for the alternative teacher education program and is eligible to receive a practitioner license after teaching for at least 3 years under the initial license. So that means they want you to have two licenses, a pilot license where you're testing the water, and then 3 years later get a different license where you're actually a teacher. So let me tell you just a little bit about licensing, nurse's license. I'm licensed by the state.
I went into IT. You ain't got to have a license.
Okay, well, you have to have a license to teach. So I have to pay for that. I have to pay for that exam.
In IT, we just make our own licenses.
And I have to renew that license every few years. And my license was $250.
Holy moly, smackaroli.
So I'm poor. I'm in debt. I don't have a job because I can't start working until I get my license. I got to come up with $250 to be licensed. The state.
You know what? And there are people who don't want you to have a license to have a gun.
Yep. So this is now saying not only do you have to have a license, you have a pilot's license for you to test the waters, and then 3 years later, you get a real license.
That's insane.
So you're going to pay twice.
That's insane. Why? Why?
I'm just saying that's House Bill 1274. This is so that's not saying, oh, wait a minute, we might be doing something wrong. Now, I did find a teacher's salary bill.
All right.
I got to find it. I lost it because I was talking about this other bill because it caught my eye. But HB 1205.
All right. Let me go 1205.
Okay. Teacher salaries. Removes a provision that provides that a combination of certain factors may account for not more than 33.33 of the calculation used to determine an increase or increment in a teacher's salary. Increases the basic tuition support appropriation, provides that a corporation must provide each classroom teacher a salary increase of between 2% and 5% to receive a basic tuition support distribution that includes the additional appropriation. I'm sorry.
What?
2%?
What?
You want to give a 2 to 5% increase to a teacher's salary?
When they're making
Dana just said that they're making $19.85.
Less than.
Lord have mercy.
Less than. So, you know what the old saying is? You know what people value but where they put their money.
Right.
State of Indiana, our legislators, do you not value education? Don't tell me you value education and not want to put your money where your mouth is. And this is a clear indication that it's just lip service. Why do you want a dumb state? And I said it. I know I shouldn't have, but why do you want a dumb state? Why don't you want every person in this state to have the opportunity at an education? Don't tell me, that's ridiculous. 2%?
Well, 2 to 5.
But they're going to spend $500 or more on supplies. So they're going to take that same money that you would have been giving them, and they're going to put it on supplies because you're not going to fund the schools properly and make sure that the kids have what they need. This is just, I'm frustrated. I don't even have kids. I mean, but I'm going to be old one day, and because I don't have kids, I'm going to have other people's kids taking care of me. Could you please help me educate these other people's kids?
Well, there's also Sorry. There's also a couple other teacher things. There is another teacher salary bill, which is HB 1396. And this establishes a teacher supplemental compensation fund.
What?
And this is actually building traction. So this bill is actually building traction. The other two have not built traction. But this one is. This wants to increase the cigarette tax by a dollar to $1.99.5 per pack of regular size cigarettes, with an additional revenue deposited in the teacher supplement or teacher supplemental compensation fund. And then the amounts from that general fund that are going into the fund now, they're going to add that tax to it, and then that can start with the school year to try to supplement additional teacher pay.
Huh.
But it doesn't increase the pay by any more than $2,000 per teacher.
So when you start...
Which, so when you eat into taxes...
Right.
I mean, really. No.
It's nothing.
No. It's not enough. It's not enough to even cover your credit of what you've spent on your teacher supplies.
No, it doesn't. And or those licenses that you got to go buy.
Exactly.
This, I mean, again, it's a slap in the face. It's hypocrisy, and that's why teachers they went on strike in LA. Because you know you got people telling them that they want them to be well compensated. I mean, my goodness, we pay. I've never been one to like hate on athletes for what they get paid, because if there's a market for it and you can get paid for dribbling a ball or running really fast, go make your money. I ain't mad at you. However, the idea that we don't put the same amount of energy into the person that actually coached that athlete, because that coach at a high school level is a teacher.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not like college where there's, you know, public. I mean, honestly, you know, the highest paid public servants are college coaches.
You're right.
And that's all they do. Yes, they do some educating along the way, some social skills, but they're not in a classroom.
No.
They're not in a classroom developing the mind. Most of the kids who make it to college sports were coached by a teacher who spent an extra 4 hours a day with that kid or whatever it was, plus was teaching classes, plus were grading papers, plus administering tests, probably doing some tutoring on the side too. Y'all, we have got to value what is really important in our society. Stop playing. Stop allowing these legislators to get away with lip service and not delivering. This is a clear example of our legislators in our state not doing what is best for the citizens of our state. This is not a partisan issue. And if you think paying teachers a decent salary is a partisan issue, I would question who taught you.
Well, and here's the other piece of the puzzle is that, you know, every bill that's out there, like the one that's creating the biggest amount of traction is House Bill 1397. But even it is not...
sufficient.
It's not. They may give them more money if they get a master's degree. Of course they should get more money if they're getting a master's degree. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
You know, do supplemental increases in... No, people.
But see,
take a note from Mayor Joe Hogsett, who looked at what we were paying our police force and said, yeah, we've got to do something. Like, we need better retention. We need to support those that are putting their lives on the line. You know, we need to do this. And, you know, step up to the plate for teachers.
But and although I 100% agree that our law enforcement officers should be paid more, I don't disagree with that premise. So please don't anyone suggest that I do.
No, not at all.
However, if we could put more money into education and paying teachers, we wouldn't need as much money for law enforcement.
Well, I can't disagree with you there. I can't disagree with you there, Dana, because, I mean, you can look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. They will tell you what the education rate of criminals are.
Well, and then if the speaker Brian Bosma is suggesting that our education leaders don't have to be teachers or educators themselves, you know, that's a real problem. And so, you know, Speaker Bosma, I question your leadership when you suggest that our education leaders don't have to be teachers.
So thank you so much for listening to Policy with a Purpose. We try to bring these to you. We try to make you think. So reach out to your representatives. I'm Renee Ellsbury.
And I'm Indiana's own Dana Black.